Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, do not adjust your internet radio dial. It's ladies' night at the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and welcome. Tonight, I won't be flying solo. I have a dear young lady with me from the Great White North. She loves beer, she loves wrestling, and if you don't know Freebird, please at least know the Freebirds. Ladies and gentlemen, a dear friend of mine, Miss Trista Timpson.
Yay!
This applause is also to the man who brought all this up to her last night. So it was yet another fine week in wrestling and a very strange one. I got to start right off with Monday night. Now, since this is ladies' night, there's no sign of Mr. Seidelman and there's no sign of Jason Block. Same thing happened Monday night. Hey Vince, did you get a clue yet? Let me ask you, Trista, did you watch?
I did watch because it was a Monday, and it's kind of a habit because I don't know what else is on Monday nights.
Because I've spoken with multiple individuals leading up to this particular Raw where the guest host was a very controversial political figure here in the States, the Reverend Al Sharpton.
Yes.
I would never attend the church he's a reverend of.
No.
But I think he works the same church as Jesse Jackson. So I'll just skip past that part. But I know a lot of people did not watch the show because it was Sharpton.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's a tricky position, you know, when, like, you're going to get someone that has such a religious and political... Oh, my God, my voice is gone. It's, like, a religious and political... stature that he does, and you have to know that's going to turn off a lot of people, right? Because everyone else they've had has been playing it kind of cool and kind of, you know, mainstream when promoting and whatever, but then when you bring in someone like Al Sharpton, you have to know people are going to be like,
So, I'll admit, I watched under protest, and I watched at a friend's house just to cost Vince a little bit of Nielsen rating. And to be honest, he really, you know, he kept it down to a dull roar, but I think he realized how much, you know, what kind of danger he was in. He was doing this show in Albany, New York, where he's not too far from the big city, where he's raised a few ruckuses.
Mm-hmm.
And they had him out in front of the masses only once, and that was at the very beginning of the show.
He did a very good job, I thought. He seemed really comfortable with the microphone and being in front of so many people, and I thought he did great at the beginning.
I feel, you know, I don't agree with some of the stuff that he promotes, and I think he's focusing a little too hard when it comes to his education reform thing. I don't want to get too political, but, you know, what they should be focusing is on all kids that are behind in schools.
And he's only focusing on...
At this point, he's only focusing on black and Latino children. There are enough white and Asian children in every other denomination. Why can't we just say that there are children that need, you know, that need some help from educational reforms? Heck, I do know somebody whose son is 8 or 9 years old, who has a lot of difficulty reading, is not doing well in school at all. I think he just needs to be, first, I want him tested for dyslexia or other learning disabilities, because it, you know, it could be him, but it could be the school, it could be behavioral, it could be genetic, it could be anything.
Yeah.
But the show was, you know, pretty much a good go home for their up and coming. Now changed pay-per-view. This would have been No Mercy, but has been changed to the pay-per-view Hell in a Cell.
Of course.
which, to steal somebody else's line, what's up with that?
That's crazy. The things they steal from the competition, air quotes, because TNA is definitely not a competition. But having gimmick pay-per-views like this, one after the other, is just like, I don't know. I'm getting pretty burnt out on it.
Well, I'm just, you know, I'm kind of scratching my head on this one. Although I give them props for the way they did end the show with bringing, they did have the cell handy.
Which is cool.
And Randy and Mr. Cena got a chance to play on it for a little bit. And I do mean it when I say on it, because I believe that's where they ended up.
They were on it, most definitely. Not so much as in it, but definitely on it.
Yes. Was I the only one hoping that something would have snapped and Orton would have fell through?
Yeah, I get scared when they go up that high. I'm kind of iffy when it comes to heights, so I don't like seeing other people going up high. But,
Yeah. I'm not a heights person either, and I've seen the new cage in person. I was at SummerSlam 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So, that cage is ridiculously high, and anything Foley-esque is ridiculously dangerous and unnecessary to put on a good match. But what, you know, I'm guessing Cena at some point was saying, I got to get up there. I want to go up there. You know, Foley did it, Taker did it, Hunter did it, Jericho did it. I want to go up there.
I think that's what people expect, too. Like, I saw when it was DX and the McMahons against Big Show, and they didn't really leave inside the cage. They didn't leave inside the cage. They stayed in the whole match. And I remember, like, we all kind of fell flat with that match, especially with Shane being in it. We thought for sure he was going to do something batshit crazy and then just completely no-sell it the next night. But, yeah, people expect some weird shit to happen. And if they don't get it, they're not happy.
But you can still have a good Hell in a Cell match without having to do that. That led 2004. Michaels and Hunter didn't leave the cage.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
I was there, and
2004?
2004. This was during, let's see, this was probably during the tail end of Michaels and Hunter being at each other's throats. No, I'm sorry, it was in the middle of it, because this went through most of the year. The two of them put on this amazing hours worth of work, which was pretty much a cage match turned into a TLC match.
Mm-hmm.
I do recommend it. It's an hour well spent.
Oh, long matches.
It's an hour well spent. And just look around for my ugly mug in the second row.
Noted.
So, despite some of the showy stuff they had and this fine, famous man who possibly could bring in some cross-promotion and other people to make this Raw great, the ratings took a dump.
Which, you know, should have been expected.
So that number came out to a rousing round of 3.1.
Quite the flush.
Well, that's pretty much the direction that the Raw ratings took because of Sharpton.
Very true.
Sorry. Oh,
no, I was just thinking something, but I don't always think things out fully, and then I just end up looking like an idiot. So.
To this though, I give them some props. Word is leaking out about some of the future guest hosts. We already know that Big Ben Roethlisberger, quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, will be hosting next week, which is probably a knee-jerk reaction of Vince's and the fact that he has to deal with Monday Night Football, which this past Monday night pulled in 11.5 despite the Cowboys playing.
People like the Cowboys. I don't know who. I don't hang out with them, but.
Well, I don't know many,
God's
and I'm not
team.
One of them.
God's team. Football.
God's team. Again, you know, I'm an unfortunate, sad sack Detroit Lions fan who has been laughing at the Washington Redskins since late Sunday.
Wow. My dad was a Lions fan. It did not go over well at my house. Lions and Bills.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. I'm like, Dad. And then, like, for hockey, he was a Leafs fan. And I'm like, can you pretend you like a team that wins? So.
The good news is my house was fairly calm. My sister was a Steelers fan. I was a Lions fan, and anybody who played the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was a Baltimore Colts fan.
Ooh.
And the Baltimore Ravens are not a Baltimore team.
If you say so.
Sorry, I'm old school.
Well.
So, but this is a wrestling show, not a football show. So let me get it back over here. Tuesday night.
Tuesday.
Now, you said you didn't see ECW, so I'm just going to go ahead and jump in here.
Well, not only have I not seen ECW, but ECW has also not aired here yet, so.
Okay, cover your ears.
Situations.
You can cover your ears, or you can already spoil the daylights out of you.
Okay.
The show, one of the things that came up right at the beginning of the show is that William Regal got to take over. His explanation was that Tiffany was in a car accident and was unable to attend the festivities. So he decided to put himself in a nice little 3-on-1 handicap match against Christian.
That's nice of him.
Well, there's
looking
a
out thing. For people that Regal.
Oh, yes.
Always looking out for people.
Oh, yes. There's a grain of truth to the Tiffany story. She's hurt, but it was not from a car accident. She simply texted a frowny face that night, and it later came out that she had broken one of her lower arm bones, her humerus.
Ow. Nothing humorous about that.
Thud.
Ba-dum-tsh.
I don't have that sound.
I can provide
I don't have that sound
effect.
Give me a second. I think I do have a sound. Where is it? I just saw it. There it is. This one.
Oh, come on.
Horrible. It was a horrible pun, but I like puns.
Come on. I had another good one today, and I didn't even realize it until my friend pointed it out. Then we high-fived because it was awesome.
Sweet. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it was along the lines of Chris Brown being my favorite punchline. Uh-huh. And, yeah.
I get corrected. VRM is trying to sneak in via an IM. The humerus is the upper, the big bone in your arm.
My bicep bone?
Your radius and your ulna. So that is, ooh. So, you know, she broke just above her funny bone, so it was humorous, and then it wasn't funny.
I've broken my funny bone. It absolutely sucks.
So, no, Tiffany's probably off the road for a little bit, because that sucks. Get well soon, dear. Who stepped up about this? This was not going to stand. I do know that much. And so, no, just a minor correction was made, and they turned it into a much bigger match. Where Christian got in a whole bunch of help. Oh, hush, VRM. Although he's going to shut up unless I say something. VRM did attend Raw in person. And was waving a sign that had a pair of pants on it for Cody Rhodes.
Nice.
And it simply said, "It's dangerous to go alone, Cody. Take these." That's for the Zelda mark in you, Cody. I know you can hear us.
That's a good one.
What it was that Zack Ryder wanted to face Christian, and he's like, "I don't need y'all's help."
Y'all.
I don't, that's me. But he's like,
Christian wouldn't say that. Not a terminal boy.
I don't need your help. And we go for it. But it turned into a great big four-on-four tag match with Christian, Tommy Dreamer, Goldust, and Yoshitatsu.
Okay.
Now, I think it's awesome that they're putting Yoshitatsu in the main event. Yoshi has, out of all of the new recruits that have come up, I think he gets the biggest reactions.
I've yet to see him. Well, I've seen him once, but I can't, not enough to form an opinion on him.
I think he's a very solid performer. Unfortunately, he also seems to have a reputation outside of the ring and backstage as a TNA wrestler. Did get a phone call to come up north, and she said, not with Yoshi over there because he'll be all over me.
I read that. I thought it was so funny. Not sexual harassment being funny, but that of all people, that the reason why she isn't coming up is because of some guy that they just called up to the main roster.
Oh, I mean, come on. I mean, if you're going to worry about that, you know, can I take your place? I'd like to be hit on once in a while. Hit on, not hit. Because I know somebody's thinking about it. I'd rather somebody say something nice to me than walk up into me and play it. Stupid machine.
Kaboom! Kaboom!
Thank you. And I would get creamed with a guitar. But this was a very serviceable main event. This was a lot of fun. With, you know, Zeke and Kozlov getting fairly limited work. Zack Ryder apparently growing on a lot of people.
Woo woo woo.
I
know it. Do you know it?
I know it, and I still don't like it.
Oh. That's
not fair. That's right. What I did enjoy was the fact that Yoshitatsu, of all people, got the pin.
Oh, good.
So somebody backstage definitely likes what he's doing. And, you know, with Christian keeping everybody else at bay with a nice little bowling move over on the floor by the ramp, Yoshitatsu was left to his own devices, and I believe he pinned Regal. So that, between that and the promo leading up to it, where Christian was giving everybody a pep talk, was kind of cool. He didn't have to say much to Tommy. He goes up to Yoshi and says, you know, I'm, you know, looking forward to working with you in this match. And Yoshi says, thank you. And Christian says, no, thank you. And Yoshi says, they just do this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. They keep saying thank you and bowing to each other. It was beautiful. Then Goldust is the one asked to do the whole hands-in thing. To which he gets a twinge right as they're doing it. And so everybody has to do that, too. So somebody's having way too much fun with Goldust's character, and I think it's somebody named Dustin. Anyway.
Hey, whatever keeps your job, right?
Exactly. And that's something I'm going to touch on. I'll be touching on a lot further in a couple of weeks. I can't talk about it right now.
Ooh, suspense.
The suspense is big.
I like it.
Cool. So just, you know, somebody remind me about, so if anybody who's listening tonight, remind me. When we do the show on October the 16th. That's 2 weeks from tonight. I need somebody to remind me about that, and I will explain myself if it has not revealed itself. So from here, I'm going to step outside of what's been going on in the ring and taking a peek into the court system where Mr. Jeff Hardy had a hearing on the 30th.
Yes.
Which sounded like it was pretty much an introductory thing, just to step in, and let him know, hey, you did a bad thing, or we think you did a bad thing. Come back in a month. They're gonna bring him back around on November 4th, and continue this to continue to build the suspense on this whole mess. In order to keep a little shine on the, a little bit of shine on this, Matt Hardy tried to stir up a little controversy, posting a cryptic Twitter that said something along the lines of, "I don't want to be punished for other people, you know, for other people's sins."
Of course.
So what's the first thing the IWC does? Oh God, Matt Hardy's getting pushed out, you know, getting pushed out of WWE. Shame on them. Blah blah blah. Matt comes out a little bit later and says, "How do you guys like your ribs?" Proceeds to tell a story about losing tips at a dinner after the SmackDown taping.
I don't like Matt Hardy at all. I just can't.
He's all right. I tried hard.
Well,
Matt, among others, you know, I've sadly heard a rumor, and I don't like the sound of this. I don't know how much you play. I don't think you play around much on Twitter, do you, Trista?
Pardon?
Do you play around on Twitter?
I'm not sure what you mean by play around.
Are you out there talking, or are you sitting back listening, or are you just picking
it
up from other people?
I update every now and then, but I mostly just like it, knowing that I find myself I can sleep better at night knowing that, like, Miley Cyrus bought a new pair of shoes. So I like it just, like, for those little things, and, like, I'll be talking to someone and be like, "Well, on Twitter, I know that Kevin Nealon said," and they're just like, "Shut up, social networking junkie." That's what I am.
Well, I pick up a lot, and it's the just the fun things of guys trying to start stuff on Twitter, and Chris Jericho making fun of everybody.
Of course,
all in good course. Destroying Miz over the course of 2 weeks.
Oh, that is a beauty thing to watch.
I've seen everything from. Let's see, I caught a minor tiff with Kofi Kingston and Layla that I thought was kind of cute. Well, Kofi's a video game junkie.
Yes.
And he said he was going to go wait in line for a midnight release.
Yeah, for the new Madden game, which I've played, and I'm not very good at it.
So
my brother destroyed me 47-0.
Oh, so Layla goes, "Oh my God, you're such a nerd!" And Kofi responds, "Do you want me to pick you up a copy?" And I posted in the middle of that to both Layla and Kofi, "No, get one for Matt Stryker." And Layla actually responded to me.
Aww.
So that's the other fun part of it. Every now and again, somebody will, you know, they are listening.
They are.
They are listening because. Right now, what's been bouncing up and down on Twitter is Chavo's been getting a lot of love from the Twitter community regarding the Eddie tribute on the SmackDown 10th anniversary show.
Oh, good! I saw that.
So, segue. I'm not skipping TNA. I didn't see it. All I know is the only stuff that I do know is that the Main Event Mafia is falling apart.
Oh no!
And Lacey Von Erich. Had her debut.
Yes.
Last night, I was down in Cincinnati trying to defend my client who lost a match to another manager.
Boo. You should fire him. Unless it was that hot guy that I added on MySpace.
Well, it's Kid, so it's my dear little fabulous Candy Charles who was supposed Well, he was doing a grand dance for everybody, and he was going to give me a lap dance. And Scary Gary, the other manager, comes out and tells everybody that it's stupid. I thought it was great. I thought this was awesome. I've never gotten a lap dance. I said, "What are you going to do about it, freak?" He gets in the ring, and he actually threatens my person. To which Candy's like, "You don't touch her." I said, I don't want to touch him either. I don't want to catch whatever he's got. He is itchy. Long story short, it was a pretty messed up match. In the course of it, Scary Gary lost his headdress.
Aww.
And Candy Charles lost the match. I chose to take matters into my own hands, but alas, my blows did nothing to Scary Gary. So he was going to do something to me, no matter what it was. I was worried I was going to catch something. So I exited the ring and would not let him out of my sight as I backed towards the exit and ran into everybody he manages. I turned around, and Tony X gave a nice little wave. And Jake Oman, all 6'1" of him, just gave me a little yo wave. Hi, guys. How you doing? If you'll excuse me, I'm late for something. That didn't work. It never does. Next thing I know, I'm thrown back into the ring. Scary Gary has me by the lapels, and somebody tosses him his headdress. Next thing I know, I'm being attacked by Braided Roadkill. I nearly lost my lunch in that ring. And when they finally gave it back to Gary and let him go take it somewhere so he could feed it, I'm trying to get up, and I was waiting for my knight in neon pink trunks. It's just not so dashing with neon pink trunks, is it? To come get me, and I see him wave me off and leave. He is so fired. I'm going to have to take care of that.
You should.
Well, October the 15th, I will. So, ladies and gentlemen, shameless plug alert.
Shameless plug.
October 15th in the north end of Cincinnati, 4974 Provident Drive. Pro Training Wrestling will be having another fine wrestling event. Doors open at 7 for a 7:30 bell time. If you're traveling, don't worry. We're usually done by 9:30. All concessions are $1. And many of our stars have fine merchandise for you to purchase. So please, don't be shy. Come by. $5 at the door. End of shameless plug.
That was very well done.
Thank you very much.
I'd clap, but I have one hand solving a puzzle and the other one holding the phone.
Well, so. Okay. So what is the sound of no hands clapping?
That's sound what I was of going to do.
The sound of one finger pressing a mouse button for a great sound effect. So, speaking of shameless plugs, we got 2 hours of shameless plugging tonight with the SmackDown 10th Anniversary Show.
Yes.
So, first things first, keep that new intro.
Please.
Please. If You Rock Like Me is crap.
Yeah.
I could write her on a Casio.
That is a horrible theme. I remember one time that, like, I was just watching it with my brother, and I was just like, that theme's, ugh, I just couldn't take it. Did not like that old one at all.
So, please, keep that intro. Part of the show, of course, was taken up by this wonderful party backstage, which included such highlights as watching Michael Cole get sloppy drunk and end up puking all over Jericho's shoes.
Eh.
The look on Jericho's face is amazing.
He's a good actor, that Chris Jericho.
This is followed by Big Show inspecting the damage, getting sick himself, and going off screen and probably ruining somebody else's dinner. Followed then by the geek moment of Joey Styles stopping by to take a look and going, oh my God!
It's only the way that Joey Styles can.
Because I can't do it. Let's see. Michael Cole getting sloppy drunk. MVP and Mark Henry setting up a VIP corner of the party hall that Zack Ryder couldn't get into. But every last one of the divas and Charlie Haas got in. They even let Sarge and the Iron Sheik into the VIP section.
That was funny. Was that Charlie Haas? I didn't even notice that. I saw that
Charlie
they left out Zack Ryder, and I was like, no.
See, that's what the funniest part was for me, because Charlie Haas, you know, hasn't been allowed to do anything on SmackDown, which is a shame.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see him get moved over to ECW. So I need a WWE writer to write this down. Charlie Haas, Master of Disguise, will help a certain news reporter or superhero completely befuddle the Ripper. Charlie's about Helms' size. We can pull this off. Let's see, what other nonsense? Ah, yes, a fight breaks out at every party that is ever set up at a wrestling show.
Of course.
And this particular fight was between newcomer Drew McIntyre, or shall I say second run for Drew McIntyre, and R-Truth. Since McIntyre has been interrupting R-Truth for the last month or so. God, it's good to see Drew on TV. That is such a nice view. There was a new introduction at the party. Teddy Long was trying to schmooze. He hears a familiar voice.
Excuse me!
He hesitates.
Vicky.
Because you can't. You know, Miss Vicky was in attendance. She's cut her hair.
It looked very nice.
She looked good, and her boyfriend looks even better.
Yes. Oh. Let's talk
that
about
is,
him.
I think I will. That is Florida Championship's latest call-up, Eric Escobar. So take Primo, give him a real haircut and about 6 inches of height. And a little Rico Suave. Eric has popped up a lot in house shows over the past year or so, typically cutting a bilingual promo and coming across as a big heel. So with Vicky as his manager, that heel heat is instantaneous. Apparently he worked the dark on Monday, according to VRM, and he got booed out of the building. So, Escobar's going places, and he's going to go real quick. A sad note to the show, a good thing that they did have a huge tribute for Eddie.
Which is awesome.
That was a beautiful video. That was an excellent video. Whoever built that, that's great, and I want the song from that, too. I want the intro, and I want the Eddie tribute song on my MP3 players now.
So well done. I watched it. Brought a tear to the eye.
But it's sadder still that when we look around at the roster, the only member of the SmackDown 6 in actual attendance, was Chavo. And he was at the party. He didn't even get a match. But with Edge still on the shelf, and I have no update on him.
He was there in spirit.
Yeah.
Spirit.
Ray, of course, still on his 30 days, which expires somewhere here in the next 48 hours if he's going to be working with Big Dave.
Yeah.
Kurt is otherwise occupied in Orlando. Goodness. Oh. I'm not allowed to discuss that because Tristan and I will get into a very overblown argument.
Yes. Let's skip over this.
But to this, I will simply say, Vince, please back up what you said. I've already done my rant on that. I'll steal a line from the person in question. Prove me wrong. Let's see. Punk decided to interrupt something at the party, too, as a toast was being prepared. A heavily taped hand went over Teddy's drink, and Punk decided he wanted to get all the alcohol out of the party.
Oh, so dreamy.
That got voted out. That got voted down real quick, by the way. Even Santino showed up about a month early for Halloween. He showed up in an Undertaker costume and scared the crap out of Teddy. So we had some on and off matches. We had a Lumberjills match, which the name Lumberjanes was also brought up. Michelle McCool retaining over Melina.
In a decent match.
Yeah, it actually was.
Very decent.
And a peek of interference from Beth Phoenix, who looked like she really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
The opening clunker of a monster match with Batista and Kane, but they probably did have to get Batista on the show to do something, because he did do a lot for SmackDown in 06, 07, when he was healthy. The monster main event, 10 years in the making or whatever, however else they promoted it.
It was huge.
Told some interesting stories, too. We got all our stuff along feud lines, but we also still had a smidge of tension still with Mr. Michaels and Mr. Taker.
I like that.
That was played out. That was cool.
I like how it was really subtle, and it was like, oh yeah, they wrestled each other at WrestleMania. And then going for the tag, and then it didn't happen. That was good. Never thought of that. Well done.
Yep. And they threw a blind tag in right after that moment. And the two of them just kind of looked off each other. Like, if we weren't on the same team, we'd be going at it right now.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
Which, was fantastic. They went ahead and gave us our money's worth. Granted, it's on no longer a network channel. Here in the States, it is no longer a network channel. Effective, I believe, if not today, Monday.
Hmm.
It sounds like it's not going to affect SmackDown's broadcast schedule. I'm going to keep an eye on that. I know it doesn't affect you. Who runs SmackDown up there? Does that go through TSN?
SmackDown, Raw, Experience, and Classics are all on the Score.
Okay.
And then Superstars is on WGN on Sunday morning, afternoon. I think it's on at noon. And then ECW is on Global.
Despite ECW having a severe lack of hurricane, I can still recommend the show.
Well, it's on in about 20 minutes, so.
In the 20 minutes, we can go ahead and get our pick-ems going.
We can.
So, this Sunday, another gimmick pay-per-view. Vince, you gotta cool it. You gotta spread this shit out a little bit, you know? You put on good wrestling. You don't need a gimmick. So let's get this set up. Run down the list here. The pay-per-view is called Hell in a Cell, but only three of the matches will actually be within the cell. So it's really not lockdown. And unlike lockdown, WWE won't forget their cage.
What?
Lockdown 2007 was supposed to have two cages in the truck. They're standard six sides of steel, and
mm-hmm.
a gimmick cage for the electrified cage match between LAX and the Dudleys.
Right.
They didn't have their regular cage with them. They had to use the gimmick cage all night long.
That's too funny.
I will, you know, I will always give them crap about that. And this is what we did to celebrate such an enormous Botchamania level gap. In fact, I had the honor of putting it in there. So, pay-per-view. Okay, let's start with the non-cage matches. First match, Intercontinental title defense. John Morrison will be facing off against Dolph Ziggler.
Yes, match of the night.
And there's 14 reasons to see this match, and that would be all 8 of John's and all 6 of Dolph's abs. So I believe the winner of this match is the fans.
I believe so, especially us female fans.
Indeed. But if you had to pick a winner, dear, who do you think is going to pull this off?
Gotta go with Dolph. It's gotta. As much as I love John Morrison, I've been really pro-Dolph Ziggler lately, and I found myself getting angry after SummerSlam when he wasn't winning the title. So I'm hoping Sunday night will be his night, and he'll win, I guess.
Unfortunately, you know, I'm really digging Dolph's character. I really am. But I'm going to throw in the fact that he and Miz defeated Morrison and Kofi Kingston tonight in a tag match.
Yes.
So I'm going to take Morrison on the momentum roll. That Morrison's going to retain. I know. Let's see. Unified Tag Team Champions match. I would love to have seen this one in the cell. Big Show and Jericho versus Batista and the returning Rey Mysterio. We have no momentum marker here. Oh, come on, it's Chris Jericho.
I know.
So, do you have a favorite on that one?
I can see them doing, oh, he's returning. We'll give him the title, which I hate it when they do that. Because, I don't know, I think it's lame. So, I'll go Jericho and Big Show. Big Serious.
Mm-hmm.
I like those guys, for now. Depends who they're against. I go iffy, but against Batista and Rey. I'd want them to win, so I guess I'll pick them.
I think I'm going to stick with the Serious Show as well because with Rey coming back, this is a good way to start a feud.
Mm-hmm.
So let's have them play with it for a little bit. We could do something in Survivor Series.
Yes, build it.
Okay, let's see. United States Championship Triple Threat Match. Kofi Kingston currently holding the belt versus The Miz and Jack Swagger. We've had a fun little month of people stealing each other's belts. And a lot of tussling back and forth. Now, Kofi's had it for a while. Is it time to move it? Where would it go? What do you think?
One minute. I'm trying to think. What is it? It's Kofi Jack Swagger, is that all it is?
Kofi, Swagger, and Miz.
And Miz. Ooh. I like Miz. Not so much Swagger. Love Kofi. I'll go Miz.
Okay,
she
goes
about Miz for tonight.
Okay. I'm going to put it on Swagger. No, I'm not. Using my same rule. I see Kofi retaining.
Yeah.
I see Kofi
retaining. I just wish they would do more with him.
Now, quick footnote from SmackDown special. They introduced him from Ghana instead of Jamaica.
True.
Now, I'm just throwing this out there just because there was a flap a few months, some time ago when they interviewed his parents and they kept complaining, why are you saying he's from Jamaica? So I don't know whose call it was, but let's just confuse the WWE universe. All right, now we're going to get into the cages. First one here, we have a tag team Hell in a Cell match. D-Generation X facing off against the Legacy. Now, I'd like real quick just to slap the Raw announcers. And you even, with the pretty much answering the question, they've been saying, oh, DX, Michaels and Hunter have never teamed up in a Hell in a Cell match before.
False.
Indeed. Fail. And I think I have to play the sound for that, don't I?
Yes.
Okay, where to go? Do, 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 do. Rats. Give me a second. The sound must be played. Now I have to find it again. Is this it? That in mind, DX gets to play with Legacy. Now, their Statler and Waldorf / Incredible Hulk promo on Monday killed me.
I hate DX so much. So much.
Well, you missed my tirade the other day when somebody told me about the Rock's video package for tonight, and I complained that I didn't want to see Rock on my screen and this, that, and the other thing, and I wasn't too keen about the idea that he might be guest hosting Raw. Then I watched the segment, and damn it, he made me smile, he made me laugh. Damn you, Dwayne Johnson. Damn you.
I miss him so much.
Mark your calendars, folks. First or second Monday of November, he'll probably be out there because he's got a movie to hawk. So, let's see. Ooh, notes from the show. When Shawn Michaels yelled boring to interrupt the Legacy promo.
Oh, God.
VRM and company started a boring chant in the audience. I thought it was the other way around.
I hate this.
That the crowd was chanting boring and then Sean just got involved.
Of course he did. Why wouldn't he?
I'm presuming you're picking Legacy.
You know what? I don't even care. I want to take my I don't give a fuck point, half point, whatever it is. I want it.
Okay. Trista don't care. Trista don't care.
Trista does not care.
All right. I am picking DX mainly on another tip that I got. The Survivor Series poster is out there, and it's DX in full military regalia, and the funniest thing in the world is seeing Triple H chomping on a cigar. Nick Fury style. So I'm voting on DX, but I could be wrong. But Trista, don't give a damn, so we're going to keep moving.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm being a terrible co-host tonight.
Please. Oops. I did skip a match, but that's because they put it in the wrong order on this damn list. And we both might be taking a half point on this because it's for the butterfly belt.
Yay.
Mickey James will be defending her title against Alicia Fox, who we all know originally as the wedding planner, who apparently has gone and gotten herself a wrestling implant.
She's awesome.
So do you think they would put her... I don't think they're going to move... I really don't think the Divas belt's moving, though.
Yeah. Maybe not to her right now, but
okay.
Alicia Fox, she's really impressed me, and when she comes in, I definitely watch. Even if there's that little bit of jealousy deep in my heart.
Over a certain video?
Over a certain video. That was over a year ago.
Vicky, you got some splaining to do. Sorry, I had to do that. Okay, back in the cage. Meanwhile, back in the cage. John Cena defending his title against Randy Orton. Is this where I drop my don't give a damn point? Because this is really confounding. I think they found a formula where I can stop and scratch my head. You shouldn't bet against John Cena at a pay-per-view, but they're saying that this is Randy Orton's last chance. There's a last chance rule out there. Usually when a wrestler's told this is your last chance, that's when they usually win.
But
would they put the belt back on Orton this quickly?
That's a good question, Nikki.
Myself, you know, I'm almost to I don't care, but I do because I still do not like Orton. He has gotten better. And they are making him work.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
But I can't. Cena just got it. I can't see them moving it that quickly.
Yeah. I don't like how they end shows like that. Like, I liked it when they wouldn't be able to, like, touch each other until the pay-per-view, because
mm-hmm.
then it was just a bunch of tension. But then when you leave the challenger laid out like that and the champion standing tall, then it makes the challenger look weak, you know? And
mm-hmm.
then it's like, well, if he just got owned now, then what's going to change on Sunday?
Right.
Do not like that ending at all.
Well, isn't it? Go ahead.
Hmm?
I interrupted you.
Oh no, it's okay. Continue.
like I said, this is one that really is confounding. Cena has momentum. Cena just got the belt. Orton's on a last chance rule.
Mm-hmm.
So we have two conflicting must-win rules. What gives?
And I think with Orton, too, like, if this is his last chance for the title, if they were to screw him out of that, then I think the title scene on Raw would be pretty bland because they built him up so well to become champion, you know?
Mm.
And they built him as a champion, so him being champion is pretty believable. But then if he can't challenge for it, then what's he going to do on Raw other than, yay, let's feud with DX again?
Right.
So
and the fact that, go ahead.
That puts him at an awkward position, too.
So, your answer is?
I really want to go with Randy Orton.
Okay.
I really want to, but I don't know if I can. Oh, my heart hurts
because
so much right now.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Can I get another half point? Or can I only use that once?
No, I'll give you another half point if you want it.
I'll definitely take another half point.
All right, another half point for half point for Trista.
Yay.
There you go. Okay.
I love points. Man, I'm in the lead already, and the pay-per-view hasn't even happened yet.
So, now the one that we're both salivating about, for different reasons, I bet.
Okay.
CM Punk and The Undertaker.
Hmm.
Now, regardless, Undertaker plus Hell in a Cell equals money match. It doesn't matter who he's facing.
Mm-hmm.
And SummerSlam 2008, there was one little hiccup in that whole match, but otherwise, that was quite a load of awesome. Undertaker has sworn that he will take the belt away from CM Punk. However, CM Punk is in the midst of another raucous and spectacular heel run. I'm starting to understand, robots, why you guys kept telling me, wait till he turns.
Just wait. It's always beautiful. I like it how if someone's having a really bland babyface run, that the suggestion to cure this bland run is to turn them heel, and it rarely works, but for CM Punk, it's just like, ah.
Well, they like I said, I was told that his heel run in Ring of Honor was damn near legendary.
It was. It was amazing. Anytime he was heel.
So, but they've really stacked the deck on Punk. He's put in one Taker signature matches. Teddy Long has been scared into declaring the Hell's Gate legal, which is kind of obliterated by the fact that Hell in a Cell, everything's legal anyway.
It's another good match.
I just want a good match. I want to say I don't care in the good way. I want a good match.
Yeah, which you'll get.
But if I've got it, if it comes down to it, I love you to death, dead man, pardon the expression, but Punk needs to retain here.
He does. If they're going to build him up to be my main player, then a win over someone as I'm at a loss for words tonight. I know what I'm thinking, but I can't get it out.
Just keep punking your thoughts. Well, that's not going to help. What am I doing?
That's not very
not
hard to do.
And
man,
no, but that's not going to help your speech problem now.
It doesn't help with my speech problem at all if I'm thinking of Punk. A man of Undertaker's stature? Have I used that word tonight?
No.
No? Awesome. A man of Undertaker's stature is what they're going to need to build Punk as a believable champion. Not saying he's not believable now. Wins over Jeff Hardy's cool. But he needs a win over someone that has a legacy with the company. And that man's got to be Undertaker.
Yep. And just for that, you said legacy. Where did that go?
I did say legacy. Well, no, but it's the only word I can think of right now.
I know.
Like, oh, think of good-looking guys. And then it's like, oh, Ted DiBiase Jr.
Yeah.
Baby oil!
Oh! Sorry, I had to play it. But, so, okay. So that'll take care of our pick-ems. So we're going into the last minute of the show. And as promised to you, Cody Hawk, I'm going to talk your stuff about Ego Pro. There's a special class coming up on October the 31st where independent wrestler Bull Payne will be holding a seminar. All wrestlers who participate will be able to compete at the Ego Pro show that evening. There will also be shows on October the 11th at George's in Dayton, Ohio. It's an afternoon show, starts at noon. Rock and Wrestling 4 at the Aquarius on October the 24th, show starts at 9. And Haunt Fest on 5th, April, on October the 31st, there will be a show also in December. You'll be seeing me at IPW this Saturday. That takes care of North American Wrestling Connection Ladies Night. Trista, good night, my dear. It's been fun.
It has been.
Good night.
Good night.